This evening, I'd like to bring a message that the Lord's been working in my heart. And sometimes I find myself discontent. Have you ever found yourself there? I'm going to start out with an illustration, an example. Let's say I were to give, of course, Tyler. Could you come up here just for an illustration? If I were to give Tyler, I forgot my phone over there, and Pastor, it's a dangerous thing. Pastor did not say what time we're usually done, so that's a no bueno. Let's say if I were to give Tyler an iPhone, what's the newest one that came? 12? No. 17, right? The 17 just came out. I can't hear. Yes? There you go. That's better. If I were to give you an iPhone 17, would you be happy? Would you like that? I would too. I'm not getting embarrassed. I'm too much. He's like, whew. If I were to give Tyler an iPhone 17, he would be happy. If I were to give you an iPhone 17, maybe you would be happy. But happiness does not mean content. Open your Bibles with me, and when you find it, let's stand up in reverence to God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this passage really worked in my heart because it was something I was struggling with. I don't know if you know this, but missionaries struggle with thinking on money too. Did you know that? Yes or no? Okay, there you go. We're getting there. Let's leave the coldness outside. We can be warm in here, all right? Deal? Anyways, I lost my train of thought. I think we all can struggle with contentment. Maybe this evening you're here and you're like, if only I have this. Maybe you're single and you're like, if I get a wife, then I'll be content. Or you're like, if I get my dream job and I make, is it triple digit when it's a good salary? Triple digit, then I'll be content. If I get the new Cybertruck, they are nice. How many would like one? I would. They're so cool. They're so weird that they're cool. And if I get a Cybertruck versus my old Chevy, I'll be content. Sometimes I think, oh, if I come off the field and go live the American dream, then I'll be content. But Paul challenges Timothy, his son in the faith, said, Timothy, be careful. Contentment is not found in things, but it's found in serving the Lord. 1 Timothy, if you're there, stand up for God's word in reverence God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to read verse 6 through 12. Everybody there? All right. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore, what? I didn't hear you. What?
Content.
Lost my spot here. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Lord, would you please use your word in our lives this evening? Lord, help us not to go home just sitting through another service. Would you work in our hearts? Would you help us to learn to be content with the right things? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Contentment. Like I said, sometimes I find myself discontent. If only I had this, or if I could get this, or I remember, I'm going to save that illustration for later. First of all, this evening, look with me, little bit of the context here. First of all, gain doesn't equal godliness. Shortly before this, and we, especially in Brazil, there's a lot of churches that are preaching prosperity gospel that if you give money to the church, God is going to bless you, and God is not an investment for retirement. But sadly, here this is kind of what they were saying, that godliness is gain. If God's blessing you with money, then, if you have money, that means God is blessing you. And that's so far from the truth. Right. You can be rich, and you can be as wicked as could be. Material possessions does not equal spiritual blessing. It doesn't. If that was the case, we would live in the most spiritual country in the world. So Paul says, Timothy, young Timothy, be careful. Because there's something more important than things. I think the bottom line here is things are things. And we're going to see that later. But notice with me, and I ask a lot of questions when I preach because it makes me think and help me. What is godliness? Because notice verse 6, but godliness with contentment. What is godliness? Let me ask, are you godly? You know you can read your Bible and not be godly. You know you can pray every day and still not be godly. You know you can be in church on Sunday night and not be a godly person. You know you can preach and not be godly. So what is godliness? Are you godly? Godliness is likeness to Christ. Godliness is allowing God and our intimacy with God to transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this evening. Are you progressively becoming more like Jesus? Or are you progressively becoming more of a grouch? Paul says, Timothy, godliness. I want to be godly, folks. But sadly, many times I'm not. Because what determines whether you're godly or not is not how you appear on the outside, but it's what God's doing on the inside. You see, that's what religion says godliness is. Some churches say that if you act a certain way or you dress a certain way, that that's godliness. Not necessarily. Godliness starts in the heart. And it's an intimacy with Christ. And it transforms the outside. Notice with me, it said, godliness with contentment is great. Yea, notice with me, I don't know why I have it here. 2 Timothy 3:5. That might be a typo. 3:5. Somebody please read 1 Timothy 3:5 really loud and clear. 1 Timothy 3:5. 2 Timothy. Just one at a time, please. It's in the Old Testament. You know, many times I find myself right there. Having a form of godliness. But I don't have the power of God in my life. You can pretend to be godly. I can pretend to be godly. But you can live without God's power. Paul, a little bit later, encourages Timothy, those that pretend to be godly, but they don't have God's power in their life, turn away, stay away from them. So let me ask you this evening, are you godly? Godly is Christ-likeness that starts on the inside and changes our outside. So Paul says to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. So what is gain? I remember when I used to work at Green Heck, and I used to get that paycheck. I used to work and get those paycheck with those extra time, and it was so nice. Sometimes it was great gain. And then I made a mistake one time. I worked so much, I didn't know you could do that. I worked so much in 2 weeks that I made less in taxes that I don't know how it worked, but it was not, I was expecting a very good paycheck, and it didn't turn out that way. But what is gain? For the world, gain is if you have a good job and you make good money and you have a house of your own and you have 4 or 5 cars in your driveway and you have a garage full of junk that you don't need, that's great gain. But to God, great gain, gain is something totally different. It's not stuff. It's not temporal. The world's definition of gain is wealth, possessions, how much you make in a year. But you see what the danger is? If we are not careful, we can live with the world's perspective of gain. I'm a success if I make this much. Or my value is in how much I have stored in the bank or how much I will retire with. That's not gain. That's the world's definition of gain. But God's definition of gain is much different. Notice, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What is gain for Christ? Mark 8:36. Can one of the Haynes boy right there? You're sitting over there. Huh. Can you read? All right. Mark 8:36, please. For God has a different perspective about gain. We're not careful. We can fall in the trap, and we're going to see this, that Satan wants Christians to fall in of living a life trying to gain what the world is trying to gain, and that's empty. That will not make you content. It might make you happy for a while, but soon that'll change because that doesn't fulfill you. Philippians, let me see, who can I pick on? Do you know how to read, Seth? Can you read Philippians 3, 7, and 8 really loud, please? He tried hiding under Miss Conley there, so I decided to call on him. Philippians 3, 7, and 8, please. Paul had the right perspective about gain. Said, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for what? For the excellency, for the knowledge to know Christ. Compared to knowing Christ, everything else had no value to the Apostle Paul. See the difference perspective about gain? What is your perspective about gain this evening? Young people, I see a lot of potential here. Enough young men here that could change the world for the cause of Christ. But sadly, many of you are going to go live the American dream to buy your Cybertruck. All souls go to hell. Because of the wrong perspective about gain. Matthew 16. I haven't picked on anybody on this side. Charlie, good to see you. He's a little bit older, more serious. So I need to be less abrasive. Matthew 16, 24 and 25, please. It's in the Old Testament. New. It's interesting. With God, when we lose, we win. The other day on the way here, we were almost late for our flight, and we went to a Burger King of all places because that reminds us a little bit of the food in America. And we're almost late. This is in Sinope, a town 4 hours south of where we are, and we're almost late, and 20 minutes go by and no food. So my name was up on the screen, and then it disappeared, and I went and I asked about my food, and they're like, oh, we deleted it. And they wanted another 20 minutes to make our food. I said, I want a refund. So there he gave me like 3 sheets of paper that would take me another 50 minutes to fill out. So I counted my loss if I could make it to the flight. You know, with Christ, when we lose ourselves, then we really gain. Paul said, Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice with me verse 7. I named it, I don't have like 3 major points. I have multiple points for this one point. But it could be the time trap, or if you want to alliterate it, later you don't talk to my pastor. He doesn't alliterate his message. Secondly, notice Satan's trap, or if you want to alliterate, Satan's catch. For we brought nothing to this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing. And having having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Notice verse 9. But they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, a trap. Did you know that Satan wants us Christians to fall into the trap of finances? To fall into the trap of money? To fall into the trap of the world's mentality that gain, the most important thing is how much I make a year and not what I've done for Christ. So Paul says, Timothy, be careful. Listen, godliness with contentment is great gain. You're not going to take anything from this world. The things of this world is temporal. Notice verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, a little bit before that, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. It bogs my mind that we know we're not going to take anything from this world with us, yet we'll waste our life chasing things. And go, there's a storage. Is that storage place still open there? Off 74? There's a storage place full of little storage rooms that people pay monthly. And guess what's in there? Souls? Junk. Stuff. Yet many times we fall into Satan's trap. Oh, I'm going to live the American dream so I can see how much I can collect to leave for my kids and grandkids to fight over. Is that gain? It's a temptation. Notice, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. Did you know that the American dream is tempting? I have so many people almost weekly that once they know that I lived in the U.S. and that I worked here, they said, why did you leave and come to Brazil? Isn't it nice to work there and make money? Of course it is. But it's also a trap. When I was listening to this, I was tired. I was a little disappointed. I was thinking, man, you know, I could go back to the U.S. I could do a couple ratings that I still need for flying, and I could be making from $90 to $120 an hour sitting in a cockpit flying an airplane. Stuff. Is that gain? Let me hear you. That wasn't very convincing. Is that gain?
No.
Hey, who said really loud here? No. It's a trap. The American dream is a trap, and sadly, many, many young people will never go into the mission field or into the ministry because they fall into that trap. Now, I've changed a little bit, Brother Jeremy. I thought that if you're not becoming a pastor or a missionary, then you're out of God's will. Not necessarily like that. But the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to say goodbye to the American dream? Goodbye to stuff for souls. You ain't gonna take nothing with you. I have a couple things that mean a lot to me. A couple model airplanes that is in my office. I have a bull that one of the chiefs gave me. I have a couple little airplanes that means a lot to me. But guess what's gonna happen when I die? To those things. Can anybody guess? It's going to stay there. I'm not going to take it with me. So why would we fall into Satan's trap of wasting our life chasing things, chasing the world's philosophy of gain, when you can't take it with you? Colossians 3. What's your name? Marco, okay. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. Can you read? Okay. Marco's going to read for us here. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. After Matthew. Colossians sums it up to us, for us. Hey, if you're risen with Christ, if you're saved, quit seeking the things of the world. I like this verse. Seek the things which are from above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Notice, set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth, and not on things on the earth. The Bible is very clear. Yet many of us are trying to follow Christ, but we want to pull our U-Haul with our stuff behind us. Just leave it. Paul said, Timothy, godliness is the most important thing. With contentment is great gain. What the world has to offer you is not no gain. You're not going to take anything from this world with you. Then he noticed number three, godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice, what is contentment? I'm glad you asked. Contentment does not mean happiness. And sometimes I thought, you know, contentment means happiness, but if you're content, you will be happy. What contentment is not, it's not about comfort. It's not about, sadly, the world's philosophy of contentment is of what I have or don't have. If I have this, then I'll be content. But that's not true. My illustration that I say for now was, I thought that if I had gotten back when I went to Brazil, I had gotten the iPhone 11. And I thought, okay, once I get the 11, I'm going to be set. I'm good to go. I'm going to be content. I'm never going to need another phone in my life because it's the newest and the greatest and this and that. Well, guess what? You think I'm still content with that phone? You see, I think if we could bring this message to one thought, would be this. Things, I'll put it in our language here in the South, Things ain't going to make you happy. But sadly, many of us fall into that trap that if I get enough things, I'll be happy. I think it's hysterical in Brazil. They caught on to the Black Friday idea. But I don't call it Black Friday. I call it Black Fraude, which is black fraud. Because they really don't change the price at all. And they just put Black Friday, everything 50% off. And then you look and it's not 50% off. They just jacked up the price so they could sell it almost the same price they were originally selling it for. And people go out at wee hours in the morning to give a gospel tract to those people. No. People go out at wee hours in the morning to get stuff they don't need that they're going to put in their garage to have a yard sale a couple years later and sell it for $1 what they paid $50 for. Is that great gain? Yet Satan many times get Christians to fall into the temptation of the American dream. I'm tempted to fall into that. You know how much easier my life would be? Making $120 an hour, Tyler? And all you got to do is push buttons. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, wrong one. Here we go. Life is more than that. And Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, my son in the faith, don't get distracted. Don't fall into Satan's trap. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, a trap. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10 is a well-known verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil. What are we usually done, Pastor? Okay. Okay, I'm done. No. For the love of money is the root. Where am I? Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Church, contentment is not about what we have or what we don't have. But contentment comes through knowing God. It's interesting that Paul calls Timothy's attention here to said, if you have what to eat, what to wear, you should be content. You have, notice there, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. How many here have food? How many have raiment? That means clothes. How many are content? You see, because if you put the wrong value on things, I think this passage goes hand in hand to Matthew chapter 6. It's interesting. He said, for these things, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, or how tall you are, how short you are. You're not going to change that. These things are what the Gentiles seek after. I'm paraphrasing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and God will take care of the rest. Contentment is when you realize that God is enough. That is true contentment. Paul reminds Timothy here, hey, God will take care of you. Notice verse having food and raiment therewith to be content. And then lastly, this evening, Paul challenges Timothy. He says, notice verse 11, but thou, O man of God. Why was Timothy a man of God? Because he was godly. Young people, are you godly. You can appear godly. But how's your intimacy with Christ? Notice verse 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. I have a strategy that I typically take, especially when I go to spend the night at this specific place. I always like taking somebody else with me. And I never, ever take anybody that is faster than me for a specific reason. One night, I was camping under the airplane out in the runway away from the village. And I walked me and this Noah's brother. He had come to visit. And we went to that village and gave some gospel tracts. It's not one of the ones I normally go to. And we walked down the runway. You always check that, check the runway, make sure it's in good condition, which it wasn't, but whatever. But right in the middle of the runway, we found leftovers. What's a non-crass word? From a jaguar. You know what? Scat. Anyways, is they eat and, you know, they got to leave the bones and the remains behind. And right in the right in the middle of the runway, there was some jaguar left over. Now, jaguars are, they're not a little kitty cat. They kill and they're very dangerous. So it was still new. You could tell it was fresh. Yet we are there in that tent. Me and Noah, and I'm thinking, if we perish, we perish. Is that from Esther, I think? And we didn't sleep well. I heard stuff in the woods around, and I didn't have a gun. I did have a little machete, but you're not going to get one with a machete. They're too fast. But we're sleeping, and I finally fall asleep, and I think Noah hits that tent. He goes, like kind of like Tyler when you were sleeping at the tribe, you kept turning, and when he did that, he hit the tent. We both thought it was a jaguar, and we wanted to flee. That means I wanted to get out of that tent as fast as I could and run away, because I think I was fast. I don't really know if I'm faster than him or not, but. I want to get away. I want to flee. I want to get away from that because I was in danger. But lo and behold, we're inside a tent, and we were trapped in there. Thankfully, it was a false alarm. But many times, we want to flee, but we're trapped in the tent. We're not willing to unzip the tent and get away. Oh, but mosquitoes might bite me. Oh, but I might get monkey rabies. So instead, I'm going to go collect junk. Anyways, Paul says, but thou, O man of God, flee. Get away. If there really was a jaguar, you can't outrun them. But I would try to escape, you know. I would think I would try to flee from and maybe try to get inside the airplane or whatever. But Paul says, flee from the danger. Flee from the trap of Satan, of pursuing things, of thinking that riches equals godliness, that riches equals God's blessing. Flee these things. And then follow after. And he gives a list of things here. Follow after, and it's basically a repeat of the fruit of the Spirit. But follow after righteousness. Looky here, what's that second word? I can't hear you. What? Godliness. Faith. love, patience, meekness. What are you following after this evening? Things? Is the American dream blinding you from what God wants for you? I'm not going to take any of that with you. I pray that tonight maybe somebody would say, Lord, let me let go of the things. Take that U-Haul. Burn it. It's just things. Because you're more important. Lastly, last but not last, notice he said, fight. I like a good fight every once in a while. Not fight, but competition, I'd say, would be better. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Church, God hasn't called us to fill garages up with stuff. He's called us to fight. If you go to war, you want to be as light as you possibly can. Can you imagine a soldier going to war pulling a U-Haul? Hey, you can shoot me, but don't shoot my stuff. That's the American dream for you. God hasn't called us to fill U-Hauls and garage storage and storage units, but he's called us to fight. Fight the good fight. Secondly, he said, Timothy, focus. Lay hold of eternal life. Now, this is not teaching salvation by works. But I think Paul is simply saying to Timothy, live with eternity in your mind. You're not taking anything from this world. Think of what's to come. You're not going to take your bank account with you. You're not going to take your guns with you. That was one of my biggest surrender to go to mission field was hunting and my guns. Guess what I got to do this week? Huh? Oh, dear. Very good. You know, the verse says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Serving God is not a task if you have the right perspective. But Paul says, Peter... Timothy, fight the good fight. Lay hold of eternal life. Of eternal life. And then lastly, he said, remember your testimony. Notice with me. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. When I die, I hope that the testimony I leave is not that, oh, he was just another good Christian that lived the American dream and died. I want my life to count for Christ. I think Job, there was something I wanted to share here, but I lost it somehow. I was on the right track here. Fight the good fight. But I think Job understood that things were things. Notice Job 1:21 said, and he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God borrows us things so we can glorify him. Sadly, many times we waste it on ourselves instead of investing in eternity. Are you content? Somehow, I got more. That's where it is. Then in conclusion, I'm gonna close this evening, but money isn't gonna make you happy. Things are not gonna make you happy. They're empty. Church, only Jesus. Young people, only Jesus is gonna make you happy. It's gonna make you content. There's a difference there. I used to think, oh, and we have many singles here. Oh, but if I marry, then I'm gonna be content. You're marrying for the wrong reason. If you're not learned to be content with what God's given you, a person's not going to make you content. Only Jesus. I close, open with me with Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Quincy, could you read that for us, please? Hebrews 13:5, please. I think Hebrews 13 brings it all into one verse. The Bible says, let your conversation, I just think, the way I talk, right? Be without covetousness. That's not what I'm saying. It's the way your life talks. Be without covetousness. What's covetousness? Love of money. So let the way you live be without loving money. And what? Be what? I can't hear you. Content with such things as ye have. Notice, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me ask you this evening, is God enough for you? Things are not going to make you content. Young person, you might be here and you might even be going to Bible college, but you're going to get distracted and you're going to fall into Satan's trap. Don't let that happen. The American dream is not going to make you content because you'll always want more. Only Christ can bring true contentment. Let's stand up, head bowed, eyes closed. I would ask the pianist to please come and play a song. Thank you.